Thank you for being an incredible supporter of the 10X Podcast Group, the home of the Murder Tape Chronicles. We're thrilled to have you as part of our growing community. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Your likes and comments mean the world to us and help us reach a wider audience with our stories. Plus, with new episodes released every day, your feedback plays a vital role in shaping what we create. It truly makes a difference. Your loyalty and enthusiasm fuel our passion for crafting gripping tales, and we're so grateful for your support. Today, we're excited to present Sisterhood of the Knife, a story that promises to keep you on the edge of your seat. Let's dive into this thrilling narrative together. Chapter 1, The First Cut. The stench of ammonia and rot hit me like a fist when we dragged Marco Rivera into the meatpacking plant. His Gucci loafers squeaked against the blood-slicked concrete, his designer cologne clashing with the reek of spoiled meat. I tightened my grip on his hair, forcing his face into the beam of my flashlight. His left eye was swollen shut from where Lena had pistol-whipped him in the parking lot. The other one darted between us, seven women in black hoodies and steel-toe boots, faces hidden behind ski masks stitched with red thread. A signature. A promise. Que quieren? Marco spat, his voice trembling. The bravado he'd used earlier, "You bitches don't know who you're fucking with," had dissolved the moment Ty kicked his knees out from under him. Now he was just another rat in a trap, sweat glistening on his shaved head. I crouched, peeling off my mask. Let him see me. Let him remember. His good eye widened. Julieta? Pero te vendí hace años. You sold me years ago. The words slithered out of him like a confession. I smiled, cold and slow, and pressed my knife to his throat. And now I'm worth more than you. The sisterhood wasn't born in a support group or a therapy circle. It was forged in the trunk of a Cadillac Escalade, duct tape cutting into my wrists, the muffled laughter of Marco's men vibrating through the metal. I'd been his product for 3 years, shuttled between Miami and Bogota, pumped full of enough fentanyl to drown a horse. But the night the cops raided his brothel, I didn't run. I hid in the walls, listening to the screams of the other girls as they were hauled off, their faces already fading from the world. 2 days later, I crawled out. Found Lena first, a former ER nurse who'd been trafficked for her medical license, forced to stitch up girls so the Johns wouldn't see bruises. Then Esme, a hacker whose own father had auctioned her virginity on the dark web. Ty, mute from throat burns after torching her pimp's car. Mira, barely 18, still flinching at raised voices. Raven, who never spoke about her past but carried a straight razor etched with Cyrillic. And Zara, the oldest at 42, her face a roadmap of cigarette scars. We met in abandoned places. Liquor stores with busted windows, half-built condos dangling rebar like broken teeth. Zara called it the Unchurch. Our hymnal was a shared Google Doc where we listed every name, every address, every sin. Marco was entry number 17. He's got a wife now, Esme said during the planning phase, her fingers flying across three keyboards. Two kids. Volunteers at their preschool. Lena snorted. Bet he tucks them in with the same hands that choked that Russian girl to death. I stared at Marco's photo on the screen, smiling at a charity gala, his arm around a woman in a white gown. We'll start with the hands. The meatpacking plant was Raven's idea. Poetic, she'd said, tracing the edge of her razor along her palm. He treated women like cattle. Let's return the favor. Now she circled Marco like a vulture, her boots crunching over frozen blood puddles. The plant was a graveyard of rusted hooks and conveyor belts, the air thick with the ghosts of slaughtered cows. Lena had rigged a portable generator to power the hanging lamps, their orange glow casting long shadows on the walls. Marco's breath came in ragged clouds. Please, he whimpered, piss darkening his slacks. I'll give you money. Millions. Just let me go home. Ty stepped forward, her scarred lips twisting into a smile. She unzipped her backpack and dumped a pile of photos at his feet. Girls as young as 14, hollow-eyed and bleeding. Tell them to go home. Marco started to sob. Raven crouched, tilting his chin up with her blade. You're lucky we're artists, she purred. We could have just killed you. The first cut is always the hardest. Not because of the blood or the screaming, you get numb to that, but because of the texture. Human skin isn't like cowhide. It's thinner, rubbery, clinging to the muscle like it's begging not to be separated. You have to work slow, precise, the blade angled just right. Lena taught me that. Start behind the ear, she'd said during practice, her voice steady as she guided my hand over the cadaver we'd stolen from a morgue. Follow the jawline. Pretend you're peeling an orange. But Marco wasn't a corpse. He thrashed as I pressed the blade to his skin, his screams bouncing off the metal walls. Zara and Ty pinned him, their boots on his wrists. Esme filmed it. Insurance against future buyers who might try to blackmail us. Mira stood in the corner, clutching a stuffed rabbit she'd brought for moral support. "Shoo," Raven whispered, stroking Marco's hair as I sawed through the first layer. "This is a celebration. You're going to be art." His skin peeled back in a ragged strip, revealing the glossy red muscle underneath. The smell hit me, copper and fat like bacon frying. Marco's screams turned guttural animal. I wondered if I'd sounded like that when he'd sold me. "Faster," Lena urged, her surgical mask speckled with blood. "Before he goes into shock." I carved deeper, separating cartilage from bone. His nose came off with a wet pop, dangling from a thread of tissue. Raven caught it, giggling, and pressed it to her own face like a party mask. "Look, Jules. I'm a pimp now." Mira retched into a bucket. By the time we reached his forehead, Marco had stopped screaming. His remaining eye rolled back, his body spasming in silent agony. Lena monitored his pulse. "Alive. Barely." Ty tossed me a flask of whiskey. "For the nerves." I drank, the burn steadying my hands. "How's the buyer looking?" Esme checked her phone. "Berlin's wired half up front. Wants it shipped in formaldehyde, not dried." "Fussy bastard," Zara muttered, lighting a cigarette. "Tell him it's vintage or nothing." Raven crouched over Marco's twitching body, her knife tracing idle patterns on his chest. "We should take the rest," she murmured. "The skin on his back's pristine. Could make a lovely lampshade." "Stick to the plan," I snapped, wiping my blade on my jeans. "Face only. We're not monsters." She looked up, her eyes glinting. "Aren't we?" We finished at 3 a.m. Marco's face hung from a hook like a grotesque Christmas ornament, dripping onto a tarp below. Lena pumped him full of adrenaline to keep him conscious. "Look at me," I ordered, gripping his jaw. "This is what happens to men who sell children." He gurgled, pink foam bubbling from his throat. Ty tossed a burner phone into his lap. 911's already dialed. "Pray the cops find you before the rats do." We torched the plant on the way out, the flames painting the sky the color of old bruises. Mira hugged her rabbit, tears cutting through the blood on her cheeks. "Do you think he'll tell them about us?" Raven lit a cigarette off the inferno. "Who'd believe a pendejo with no face?" Back at the safe house, a gutted bodega in Little Haiti, Lena preserved the mask in a brine solution while Esme counted the cash. Zara scraped Marco's blood from under her nails with a switchblade. Ty slept in the corner, her hand resting on a sawed-off shotgun. I found Raven on the roof, her legs dangling over the edge. The city spread out below us, a cancer of neon and shadow. "You did good today," she said, passing me her flask. The whiskey tasted like gasoline. "It didn't feel like good, because you're still thinking like a victim." She leaned back, staring at the stars. "They took everything from us, Jules. Our faces. Our names. Our souls. You want to make that right? Take theirs. And make it hurt." I thought of the girls in the photos. The ones who didn't get a sisterhood. "What if it's not enough?" Raven grinned, her teeth sharp in the moonlight. "Then we'll take more." That night, I dreamed of Marco. Not the butchered animal in the plant, but the man who'd bought me at 16. Smooth smile, gold Rolex, promising my mother he'd get me a job as a maid. In the dream, he was skinning me, humming a lullaby as my flesh peeled away in ribbons. I woke choking on a scream. Raven stood in the doorway, her silhouette haloed by the hall light. "Bad dream. Memory," I rasped. She sat on the edge of my mattress, her hand cold on my sweat-soaked neck. "They'll stop. Once you make enough masks. You ever get them?" "Every night." Her thumb pressed into my pulse point. "But now. I enjoy them." When she left, I found bloody fingerprints on my pillow. The news called it a gangland mutilation. Marco survived, barely, but couldn't ID us. Not without lips. The sisterhood's first masterpiece sold for $250,000. The buyer requested a custom display case with a plaque, portrait of a businessman. We drank to his review, hauntingly lifelike. But as the others celebrated, I noticed Raven in the corner, sketching in her notebook. When I asked to see, she slammed it shut. "Trade secret," she winked. Later, I flipped through it while she slept. Page after page of faces, some marked with red XS, others circled feverishly. Our list. Our targets. But in the margins, drawn in smudged charcoal, were our faces too. Mine had a question mark instead of eyes. Chapter 2. The Blood in the Thread. The safe house stank of vinegar and regret. We'd turned the back room of the gutted bodega into a workshop, plastic sheeting duct taped over windows, a stolen medical lamp casting blue-white light on the stainless steel table where Lena worked. Marco's face floated in a glass vat of brine like some primordial creature, the edges of his skin curling into a permanent scream. Lena called it curing. I called it baptism. 3 more days, she said, adjusting her rubber gloves. Then we stitch in the details. Raven leaned against the doorframe, picking under her nails with a scalpel. Should have left the eyes intact. They're soulless now. They were always soulless, I muttered, scrubbing dried blood from my boots with a wire brush. The bristles scraped like teeth. The others were scattered across the main room. Zara chain-smoking by the boarded-up front windows, Ty dismantling her Glock for the 10th time that hour, Mira humming to herself as she sewed patches onto Raven's jacket. Esme's laptops glowed in the corner, security camera feeds flickering across 6 screens. We'd been holed up for 48 hours, waiting to see if Marco's art exhibit would draw heat. So far, the cops were spinning it as cartel drama. We're clear, Esme announced, cracking her knuckles. Berlin's wiring the rest tonight. Buyer wants a rush job on the next piece. Zara blew smoke at the water-stained ceiling. Who's the lucky bastard? Frankie 2-time Malone. Esme pulled up a dossier. A wiry redhead with prison tats crawling up his neck like ivy. Runs massage parlors in Queens. Specializes in damaged goods, asthmatic girls, amputees, you name it. Clients pay extra to fix them. Myra's needle froze mid-stitch. Fix how? However they want, Lena said without looking up from the brine vat. CPAP machine turned up till their lungs pop. Prosthetics wired to car batteries. He calls it interactive therapy. Ty slammed her gun parts onto the table. I'll peel that ginger cunt like a grapefruit. Raven's scalpel paused. Can I keep his hair? For texture. Focus. I tossed the wire brush into the sink, my hands still smelling of Marco's blood. Esme layout. She pulled up blueprints of a nondescript storefront. Parlor's a front. Real actions in the basement. 2 exits, 3 guards, motion sensors on the windows. Frankie's there every Thursday to inspect inventory. Tomorrow, I said. Raven twirled the scalpel. Let's make it a date. We hit the parlor in a rainstorm. Black SUVs rolled through Queens like hearses, windshield wipers fighting the downpour. The neon Tranquility Spa sign buzzed through the gloom, reflecting pink in the puddles. Inside, a bored receptionist flipped through a Cosmo while security cameras blinked red in the corners. Remember, I said, adjusting my earpiece in the van across the street. In and out. Faces only. No fireworks. Raven licked rainwater off her blade. Unless they start singing. We'd split into teams, Ty and Zara on crowd control, Lena and Mira as clients to case the basement, Esme jamming signals from the van. Raven and I would handle Frankie. Showtime, Esme crackled. Cameras looped. Guards just did rounds. Go! Myra's hands shook as she applied lip gloss in the van mirror. Lena squeezed her shoulder. Stick to the script. You're just here for a job interview. Right. Mira forced a smile. Totally normal to get hired by a rapist. They crossed the street, umbrellas tilted against the rain. The receptionist barely glanced up. Appointment. We're here about the therapy position, Lena said, playing nervous. Mr. Malone said to ask for chastity. The receptionist's gum snapped. Basement. Stairs on the left. As the door shut behind them, Raven snorted. Chastity. Fucking poetry. We waited 5 minutes. Enough time for Lena to plant jammers on the basement circuit breakers. Then Ty and Zara strolled in, dripping wet and laughing too loud. Couples massage. Ty announced, slapping a wad of cash on the counter. We want the freaky package. The receptionist eyed Zara's crow's feet and Ty's neck scars. You sure you're in the right? Zara grabbed her by the hair and slammed her face into the desk. Surprise, cunt. It's take your daughter to work day. The van door slid open. Raven and I stepped into the rain. The basement smelled like antiseptic and despair. Soundproof foam padded the walls, the floor dotted with drain grates. Naked bulbs dangled over massage tables equipped with restraints and 4 poles. A girl with an oxygen tank whimpered in the corner, her wrists cuffed to a radiator. Frankie stood over her, gripping a pair of jumper cables. You're supposed to faint when the voltage hits, he growled. Not piss yourself like a... He turned as we entered. I'd seen his file, 34, former EMT. Lost his license for experimental procedures. Up close, he looked younger. Freckled. Boyish. The kind of face that made juries hesitate. New girls. He dropped the cables, smiling. You're early for the audition, but I've got time to. Raven shot him in the knee. The gunshot was muffled by the foam, but the scream wasn't. Frankie collapsed, clutching his leg. What the fuck? Shoo, Raven crouched, pressing the silencer to his good knee. We're here about your artistry. In the corner, the girl with the oxygen tank began to hyperventilate. Lena rushed to her, picking the cuffs with a hairpin. You're safe now. We're getting you out. Frankie's eyes darted between us. You're the ones who did Marco. The face cutters. See? Raven patted his cheek. We're famous. I hauled him onto a massage table, zip-tying his wrists to the restraints. You're going to help us make a masterpiece. Fuck you. He spat blood on my boots. I know people. They'll flay you. Raven slapped a strip of duct tape over his mouth. You're boring us, Frankie. And boring people. She traced his jawline with her knife. Get turned into coats. The peeling took longer than Marco's. Frankie fought like a rabid dog, thrashing against the restraints until his wrists were raw meat. His screams vibrated through the duct tape, his face purpling. Raven straddled his chest, humming Camptown Races as she sliced behind his ears. Hold his head, she ordered. I gripped Frankie's skull, feeling his pulse rabbiting under my palms. The blade glided through freckled skin, parting flesh from bone. Blood pooled in his eye sockets, overflowed down his temples. Beautiful, Raven murmured, peeling back his cheek. Look at the marbling. Lena gagged by the oxygen tank. Jesus, Raven, he's still alive. That's the point, Raven said, tossing a strip of skin into the metal bowl we'd brought. Adrenaline tightens the pores. Makes the leather supple. Mira stood frozen in the doorway, clutching the stuffed rabbit. We weren't supposed to kill him. We're not, I snapped, sawing through Frankie's nostril. He'll live. Won't you, Frankie? He gurgled, his remaining eye rolling toward Mira. A wet stain spread across his pants. Ty's voice crackled in my earpiece. Cops 2 blocks out. Wrapped here. Nearly, I lied. Raven paused, blade hovering over Frankie's throat. Wait! His neck! What about it? She peeled back the skin below his Adam's apple, revealing a tattoo. A black serpent coiled around a crucifix. This was in his file. Each scale's a girl he's converted. I counted. 37. Raven's smile turned feral. Let's make it 38. Before I could stop her, she plunged the knife into Frankie's jugular. Blood arced across the room, painting the foam walls. The girl with the oxygen tank screamed. Frankie's body convulsed, the restraints creaking. What the fuck? Lena shouted. Raven wiped her face, leaving crimson streaks. He slipped. Bullshit. I grabbed her arm. We had a plan. She twisted free, eyes blazing. Plans change. You think cutting off faces makes us heroes? We're just janitors. You want to really scare the wolves? Start eating them. Frankie's heels drummed a death rattle on the table. Ty burst in, shotgun raised. Cops are here. Move. We fled through the back alley, the girl stumbling between us. Sirens wailed as we shoved her into the van. Go! 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 Raven stayed behind, licking blood off her knife. Raven! Catch up, she yelled, ducking into the parlor's dumpster. We peeled out as cruisers skidded into the parking lot. The safe house erupted. He was alive. Lena screamed, pacing the workshop. We don't kill. That's the rule. Raven shrugged, scrubbing Frankie's blood from her hair in the sink. Rules are for people who still think they're human. Zara blocked her path. You put us all at risk. Cops find that body. They'll blame him. Raven tossed a evidence bag onto the table, Frankie's severed hand, the serpent tattoo intact. I left it in his office safe, along with his client list. Esme paled. That list has senators on it. Exactly. Raven grinned. Now they'll eat each other instead of chasing us. That's how you play the game. Mira hugged her rabbit, tears streaking her face. You're a monster. Raven froze. Slowly she turned. Say that again. You're a monster, Mira whispered. The slap echoed like a gunshot. Mira fell, clutching her cheek. Raven loomed over her, trembling. You think I like this? I'm saving us. You want to cry? Go cry over the corpses Frankie left in his closet. She stormed out, slamming the door hard enough to crack the frame. I found her on the roof, chain-smoking. The storm had passed, leaving the city steaming. Raven's hands shook as she lit a new cigarette off the old one. You shouldn't have hit her, I said. She shouldn't be weak. She's 19. So were you when Marco sold you? Raven exhaled smoke through her nose. You think the world cares how old we are? It chews girls her age. Spits out the bones. I sat beside her, the tar paper still warm from the rain. We agreed, no killing. We're not them. We're worse. She flicked ash into the void. They destroy bodies. We destroy legacies. You think Marco's kids will ever recover from seeing Daddy's face on the news? That's forever, Jules. We're writing our names in their souls. Below us, a siren wailed. Somewhere, Frankie's corpse was cooling on a slab. Why'd you really do it? I asked. She hesitated. Pulled a Polaroid from her pocket, a young girl with Raven's coal-black eyes, grinning in a sunflower field. My sister, she said. Frankie sold her to a guy who liked broken birds. She jumped off a roof 3 days later. The photo was creased, stained with blood. You never told us, I said. Didn't need to. She tucked the photo away. We're all sisters here. The next morning, Frankie's face floated next to Marco's in the brine vat. Lena wouldn't look at it. Buyer wants it dyed red, Esme said, avoiding Raven's gaze. To match his hair. No, Raven stirred the vat with a steel rod. Leave it pale. Let the blood show through. Zara tossed a newspaper on the table. Massage parlor massacre. Trafficking kingpin slain in ritual killing. They're calling us cultists, Ty said, grinning. Good. Raven fished out Frankie's face, dripping pink fluid. Cults get devoted. I checked the Google Doc later. Frankie's entry now had an addendum. 37 scales. 37 sisters. We remember. That night, I found Raven in the workshop. She'd stretched Frankie's skin over a mold of his own skull, stitching the serpent tattoo into the leather with gold thread. The result was grotesque, lifelike yet hollow, the empty eye sockets staring into nothing. It's done, she said, holding it up. What do you think? The serpent seemed to writhe in the lamplight. It's honest, I said. She laughed, low and dangerous. Honesty's overrated. From her jacket pocket, she pulled a small velvet box. Inside, nestled in black satin, was a perfect circle of human teeth, Frankie's. For you, she said, draping them into my palm. A necklace. To remind us what we're capable of. The teeth were still sharp. You're changing, I said. She leaned close, her breath warm on my neck. So are you. When I checked my reflection later, I didn't recognize the woman staring back. We shipped Frankie's mask to Berlin in a rosewood casket. The buyer's review arrived at dawn, transcendent. A true portrait of sin. Ren we celebrated with stolen champagne, I noticed Myra's empty chair. And the bloody handprint on her stuffed rabbit, left drying in the sink. Chapter 3, The Unraveling. The safe house felt like a tomb after Frankie's death. The air clung thick with the coppery stench of dried blood and the sharp tang of bleach we'd used to scrub the floors. Myra hadn't spoken in days. She'd curled into the corner of the ratty couch, her stuffed rabbit clutched to her chest, its fur matted with grime and something darker. The rest of us moved like ghosts, jumping at the creak of floorboards, eyeing each other over the rims of whiskey glasses. Trust had become a currency we couldn't afford. Raven thrived in the rot. I found her in the workshop one night, bent over Frankie's leftover skin, stitching jagged runes into the leather with a needle made from his own rib bone. The lamplight carved shadows into her hollow cheeks, her lips moving silently as she worked. What are you doing? I asked, leaning against the doorframe. She didn't look up. Telling his story. Every prick who buys this'll feel what he did. It'll haunt them. That's not the plan. Plans bore me. She held up the mask, Frankie's face now twisted into a ghoulish scream, the serpent tattoo coiled around a fresh stitchwork of thorns. This is truth, Jules. You used to crave it. I stepped closer, my boots sticking to the blood-caked floor. We agreed, no curses, no fucking witchcraft. We're supposed to be better. Better. She laughed, a sound like glass breaking. We're flaying men. Don't dress it up in Sunday school morals. The mask stared at me, empty eyes accusing. You're scaring the others. Good. She set down her needle, fingers brushing the Polaroid of her sister taped to the wall. Fear's the only thing keeping us alive. Myra started sleepwalking. We'd find her wandering the safe house at 3 a.m., trailing her rabbit along the walls, murmuring names we didn't recognize. Lissa. Danny, they're under the porch, under the porch. Lena said it was PTSD. Zara called it a liability. One night I followed her. She slipped out the fire escape, barefoot in a threadbare nightgown, the rabbit dangling from her fist. The streets were slick with rain, neon signs bleeding into the pavement. She walked 6 blocks to a boarded-up daycare center, its windows smashed, a frayed jump rope dangling from a tree like a noose. Myra, I whispered, grabbing her shoulder. She turned, her eyes milky in the moonlight. They're hungry. Can't you hear them? A rustle came from the building's carcass, rats probably. Or worse. Come home, I said, tugging her away. She resisted, pointing to a patch of disturbed earth under the swing set. He buried them here. The bad man. They're cold, Jules. My stomach twisted. Who's cold, Mira? The little ones. She knelt, digging her fingers into the mud. He said I'd be a good big sister. But I let him take them. I let him. I pulled her up, her hands caked in black soil. We need to go. Now. Back at the safe house, she collapsed into feverish sleep. I scrubbed the mud from her nails, finding flecks of blue paint beneath them. The same shade as the daycare's door. Esme found the missing children's report an hour later. 8 kids vanished from Little Angels Daycare in 2019, she read, screen glow etching lines into her face. Suspect was the janitor, found dead in his apartment. Case closed. Myra's last name is Reyes, Lena said quietly. The lead detective was a Frank Reyes. Her father. Uncle. Lena lit a cigarette with shaky hands. She was 15 when they disappeared. I stared at Myra's curled form on the couch, her cheeks streaked with dried tears. She never told us. Some secrets carved too deep, Lena said. Raven took Mira under her wing after that. You've got a gift, she told her, pressing a knife into her palm. The dead talk to you. Use it. Mira trembled, the blade catching the light. I don't want to hurt people. Not people, Raven corrected. Monsters. She started bringing Mira on jobs, not to cut, but to watch. You'll learn, she'd say, forcing her to stare into the pimp's eyes as we peeled their skin. Mira vomited every time. Raven called it purging weakness. The rest of us let it happen. We were cowards. The CEO job broke her. His name was Victor Halstead, philanthropist, tech mogul, and owner of a private island where clients could hunt trafficked girls for sport. Esme had traced $2 million in donations to underground auctions. We make him a martyr, Raven declared, spinning her knife. Hang his skin from the stock exchange bell. Lena objected. Too public. Cops'll swarm us. Let them, Raven said. We'll be folklore by dawn. We compromised. The plan was to snatch him during his mistress's birthday party. A penthouse affair at the Orion Tower. Discreet. Quiet. Raven wore a black Versace gown, her hair slicked into a razor-sharp bob. I'll play the escort, she'd said, strapping a garrote to her thigh. Men like him love sharp edges. Mira was herb assistant, shoved into a sequined mini-dress that hung loose on her frame. Stay close, I told her, adjusting the wire in her ear. If anything goes south, run. She nodded, her rabbit stuffed into a glittery clutch. The penthouse reeked of arrogance, crystal chandeliers, caviar towers, a string quartet playing Radiohead covers. Halstead held court by the grand piano, his laugh booming as he sipped 30-year scotch. Raven slithered up to him, all hips and smeared red lipstick. Mr. Halstead? I'm starving for your attention. He eyed her like a cut of steak. And who's this? My sister, Raven said, shoving Mira forward. She's dying to meet you. Mira froze. Halstead's smile turned predatory. Let's find a quieter room. The quieter room was a soundproofed study lined with taxidermied exotic animals, a lioness mid-snarl, a peacock fanned in perpetual display. Halstead locked the door. I like them shy, he said, pouring 3 fingers of scotch. Raven slipped behind him, garrote wire glinting. And I like them begging. The wire sliced into his throat before he could scream. Mira stumbled back, clutching her rabbit. Hold his legs, Raven ordered. You said we were just scaring him. Mira whimpered. Plans change, Raven hissed, sawing through Halstead's shirt. This fucker's got a tiger skin rug in his closet. You think he deserves mercy? Halstead gurgled, blood soaking his monogrammed collar. Do it, Mira, Raven said, tossing her a scalpel. For the kids under the porch. Myra's hand shook. I can't. Do it. The scalpel clattered to the floor. Raven backhanded her. Pathetic. Mira fled, tripping over the peacock's feathers. I found her in the elevator, sobbing into her rabbit. Go to the van, I said, pressing the key fob into her hand. Now. Back in the study, Raven had Halstead strung up by his ankles, his face purple. Party's over, I said, cutting him down. You're over, she spat. You and your nursery school morals. We left Halstead alive, but barely, his chest carved with the coordinates of his island. Raven's idea of mercy. The fallout was swift. Mira refused to leave the safe house bathroom, scrubbing her skin raw in the shower. I'm just like him, she sobbed. I didn't stop her. Raven blasted death metal to drown her out. 3 days later, the CEO's murder made headlines. Tech titan tortured in ritual attack, the Times blared. Below the fold, anonymous source claims female gang targeting elite. Esme nearly shorted her laptop. They've got details only we'd know. The stitching. The symbols. Who talk? Zara demanded, looming over us. All eyes turned to the bathroom, where Myra's muffled cries echoed. No, Lena said. She's broken, not stupid. Raven stood, flipping her knife. Let's ask her. We found Mira in the tub, fully dressed, her wrists slit ear to ear. The rabbit floated beside her, its fur dyed pink. On the mirror, scrawled in lipstick. I'm sorry I wasn't brave. Raven didn't attend the funeral. We burned Myra's body in a scrap metal yard, her rabbit tucked under her arm. Lena recited a psalm. Zara drank tequila until she passed out. I kept waiting to cry. Nothing came. Raven left a gift on my cot that night, Myra's stuffed rabbit, skinned and restuffed with Halstead's monogrammed handkerchiefs. Now she's useful, the note read. I threw it into the Hudson. The safe house became a war zone. Lena demanded Raven's exile. She's a rabid dog. Put her down. Ty agreed. I'll do it. Just say the word. Esme hesitated. She knows everything. Our buyers. Our routes. She'll burn us all. Zara lit a Molotov. Then we burn first. They turned to me. We vote, I said. The tally was unanimous, except mine. She stays, I lied. They stared like I'd sprouted horns. You saw what she did. Lena screamed. And I see what she knows, I shot back. We kill her, we lose leverage. We control her. A quieter truth, I needed her. The part of me that still dreamed of Marco's knife ached for her ruthlessness. Raven watched from the shadows, smiling. That night, she slithered into my bunk. You kept me, she whispered, her breath hot on my neck. Don't make me regret it. She pressed Myra's scalpel into my hand. You won't. We became something fouler than sisters. Co-conspirators. Gravediggers. The next morning, Esme found the leak. A burner phone taped under Myra's cot. Text sent to an unlisted number. Halstead's alive, the last message read. Finish the job. Attached, our safe house address. Raven's fingerprint lit up the screen. Oops, she said when we confronted her. Guess Mira wasn't the only rat. The SWAT team arrived at dusk. We barely escaped. Now we're hunted. But so is Raven. And I'll skin her myself. Chapter 4, The Second Skin. The motel room smelled like cheap bleach and decay. We'd chosen the place for its anonymity. Peeling wallpaper, stained carpets, a flickering neon sign outside that buzzed like a dying wasp. Mira had begged to stay behind. I just need a night alone, she'd said, hugging her rabbit. I'll be okay. She wasn't. The door hung crooked on its hinges when we returned. Lena reached for her gun, but I already knew. Death has a sound, a thick, wet silence. Inside, the AC unit rattled, pumping cold air over Myra's body splayed on the bed. Her torso yawned open from navel to sternum, ribs pried apart like a grotesque flower. Her organs were arranged on the moth-eaten comforter in a smiley face. Liver for eyes, intestines curled into a grin. Lena vomited first. Esme stumbled into the hall, retching. Ty just stared, her jaw working silently, fingers twitching toward the knife sheathed at her thigh. But it was the mask that undid me. Myra's face, her actual face, stretched and stitched onto the back of Raven's denim jacket, hanging from the bathroom door. The seams were jagged, amateurish, like Raven had been in a hurry. Or maybe she'd wanted it to hurt more. Lena collapsed to her knees, her voice raw. She was 19. Ty ripped the jacket off the door, clutching it like she could somehow press Myra's features back into flesh. I'll gut that bitch. Slow. I turned Myra's rabbit over in my hands. It was damp. At first, I thought it was sweat. Then I saw the blood soaking its fur, the tiny stitches where Raven had slit its belly to stuff a Polaroid inside. The photo showed Mira asleep in her bunk, taken weeks ago. On the back, in Raven's spidery cursive. You should have locked the door. We burned what was left of Mira in a junkyard behind a strip mall. No prayers. No eulogies. Just gasoline, and a Zippo I'd stolen from Marco Rivera's pocket the night we skinned him. The flames ate her quickly, her rabbit curling into black ash in her arms. Lena sobbed into her sleeves. Esme recited coordinates under her breath. The location of every grave we couldn't dig. Ty sharpened her knives, the shink-shink of steel drowning out the crackle of bone. I stood apart, Myra's mask folded in my pocket. You let this happen, it whispered. You knew she was breaking. Raven's voice slithered through my earpiece at dawn. Miss me? Esme traced the call to a burner phone in Red Hook. Shipping yard. Container 12. Lena loaded her Glock with hollow points. We end this now. Ty painted her lips with Myra's blood. Save a bullet for me. The yard was a maze of rusted steel and shadows, cargo containers stacked like tombstones. A storm brewed overhead, the air tasting of salt and diesel. Esme hacked the security cameras, her screens casting a sickly glow in the van. "She's there," she confirmed, zooming in on container 12. Heat signature. "Alone." "Bullshit," Lena said. "It's a trap." "Of course it is," I said, checking my clip. "But she'll want an audience." We moved like ghosts, dodging patrol lights. The container loomed ahead, its doors slightly ajar. A faint hum leaked through the gap. "For Elise," played on a child's music box. Ty kicked the door open. Raven sat cross-legged in a nest of stolen cash. Fairy lights strung overhead like bioluminescent snakes. She wore Myra's face as a hood, the stitches puckering where she'd sewn it to her scalp. Around her, hundreds of masks hung from chains, some we'd made, others new. Girls from the alleys we'd failed to save. Girls with their eyes sewn shut. "You're late," she said, pouring champagne into a skull goblet. "I started without you." Lena aimed her gun. "Take that fucking thing off." Raven stood, Myra's features stretching grotesquely as she smiled. "Why?" "She likes it." Ty lunged. Raven moved like smoke, dodging, disarming, slamming Ty's face into the steel wall. "Manners, Nina. I spent hours on this." Esme edged toward the door. "Ah." Raven threw a knife. It pinned Esme's sleeve to the container wall. "Stay. Play." I stepped forward. "Why, Raven?" She tilted her head, Myra's empty eye sockets staring. "You really don't get it? We're not punishing them. We're becoming them." She gestured to the masks. "Every one of these. A step closer to godhood." Lena fired. The bullet tore through Raven's shoulder. She laughed, blood spattering the masks. "Finally. We fought like animals. No rules, no mercy." I headbutt her, tasted iron. She clawed my ribs, her nails drawing stripes of fire. Ty tackled her, their bodies crashing into a shelf of formaldehyde jars. Fingers slipped, knives skittered, breaths mingled with curses. Esme yanked the knife free. "Jules." Raven grabbed a soldering iron, jammed it into Esme's throat. The smell of burning flesh choked the air. Esme gagged, collapsing against the masks. They swayed around her, whispering. "Oops." Raven wiped her hands on Myra's face. "Guess she's offline now." Lena screamed, unloading her clip. Raven ducked behind a pallet, bullets ricocheting. Ty dragged Esme's body toward the door, her blood leaving a slick trail. "Go!" I yelled, tackling Raven into a tower of crates. "She need my gut," scrambling up the chains. "You're nothing without me." I grabbed her ankle, yanking her down. We crashed through a glass case, shards embedding in my palms. Raven straddled me, her knife kissing my jugular. "I'll wear your face next. Make the others kiss it." A gunshot cracked. Raven jerked, a bloom of red spreading over her heart. Ty stood in the doorway, Lena's smoking Glock in her hand. "Don't." Raven coughed, blood flecking her lips. "You bitch." She lunged. Ty fired again, missed. Raven vanished into the storm. We buried Esme next to Mira. No words. No markers. The ground was too hard, our hands too broken. Lena quit that night. "I can't breathe," she said, stuffing clothes into a duffel. "Tell them I died." Ty burned Raven's jacket, Myra's face melting into the flames. "She'll come back." "I know," I said. In the ashes, I found a keycard for a storage locker. Inside, files on every sister. Photos. Addresses. And a single mask, mine half-finished, with Raven's hair braided into the stitches. Her note. "See you soon." The cops found Lena's body in the Hudson 2 weeks later. No face. No hands. Raven's calling card. Ty disappeared. I wait. And sharpen my knives. Chapter 5, The Flayed Truth. The Hudson's icy grip had turned Lena's skin the color of spoiled milk. They'd fished her out near the pier, her body bloated and faceless, hands hacked off at the wrists. The cops said she'd been in the water a week, but I knew better. Raven liked her trophies fresh. I identified her by the scar on her collarbone. A jagged line from a broken bottle some John had shoved into her during my first week in the life. Lena had stitched it up herself, humming a lullaby while I held her steady. Now that scar was the only thing left of her that hadn't been mutilated. The morgue attendant slid the drawer shut with a metallic clang. "You know her?" "No," I lied. But the stench followed me, formaldehyde and rot, clinging to my clothes like a lover's perfume. I vomited in the alley behind the precinct, my bile mixing with rainwater and old snow. Lena's voice haunted me, sharp as the day she'd quit. "I can't breathe." Neither could I. Ty vanished 3 days later. Her safe house looked like a butcher shop after a tornado. Blood sprayed in abstract arcs, knives embedded in the walls, the scent of gasoline and burnt hair thick enough to taste. A single Polaroid sat on the kitchen table. Tai tied to a chair, Raven crouching behind her with a blowtorch. Scrawled on the back, she sizzles, "I tore the place apart." Found her Glock dismantled in the sink, a lock of her hair braided into the curtain tassels, and under the floorboards, a shoebox of letters to a sister she'd never mentioned. Dead at 14, sold to a trucker for a tank of gas. "I'll find him," Tai had written, the paper yellowed and brittle. "I'll make him eat his own tongue. I burned the letters. Let her secrets die clean." The farmhouse emerged from the fog like a rotten tooth. Raven's childhood home sat at the end of a mud-choked road, its porch sagging under the weight of dead crows nailed to the beams. The air reeked of kerosene and something sweetly decayed, ripe pumpkins left to rot. Zara would have loved this. I parked the stolen pickup a mile out, hiked through skeletal trees that clawed at the dawn. The silence was wrong. No birds. No wind. Just the crunch of frost under my boots and the low hum of flies. The front door hung open, a shotgun blast splintering the frame. Inside, the walls were papered with news clippings of our kills, Marco's mutilation, Frankie's ritual slaying, Halstead's carved chest. Red yarn connected them to photos of us. Lena mid-laugh, Esme hacking, Mira clutching her rabbit. And me. Always me. A child's bedroom waited upstairs. Pink wallpaper peeled to reveal crude drawings. Stick figures hanging from nooses, a woman with knife fingers, a girl hiding under a bed. Raven's shrine. In the closet, a dusty box of VHS tapes labeled home movies, smiley face. I fed one to the TV static. Static resolved to a shaky camcorder video. A man with Raven's bone structure dragged a sobbing girl by her hair across a linoleum floor. "Say it," he slurred, vodka bottle in hand. "Say you're a greedy little cunt." The girl, 9, maybe 10, shook her head. He backhanded her. The camera giggled. A woman's voice, "Harder, Carl. Make her respect you." The screen went dark. I smashed the TV. The barn was worse. Raven's brother hung from the rafters by his intestines, his face a raw wound. Flies clustered in the hollows where his eyes had been. At his feet, a pile of skinless animals, dogs, cats, a fawn with its ribs cracked open. And Tai. Or what was left of her. They'd crucified her to the hayloft ladder, her arms lashed with barbed wire, legs bent at impossible angles. Raven had skinned her in patches, a checkerboard of muscle and flesh, the healthy skin tattooed with our symbols. The red thread, the serpent, Myra's rabbit. Tai's head lolled. Alive. Barely. Jay. Jules. Blood bubbled at her lips. I climbed, splinters digging into my palms. I'm here. I'm here. Her one remaining eye focused. Jeet gun. A Sig Sauer duct taped under the ladder. The shot rang out as Raven's voice purred from the shadows. Boom. Tai's head exploded. Raven stepped into the light, wearing Tai's face over her own like a carnival mask. The skin was still fresh enough to glisten. "You're getting slow," she said, Tai's lips moving out of sync. I charged. We crashed through rotten hay bales, fists and teeth in fury. She clawed my cheek, my blood flecking her stolen face. I headbutted her, felt her nose crunch. She laughed, spat red, and slashed my thigh with a straight razor. "You missed me," she hissed. I grabbed a pitchfork, stabbed blindly. The tines sank into her shoulder. She screamed, twisting free. "Still fighting fair?" She lunged, knocking us into a trough of black water. "I'm the monster here. You're just the bitch who fed me." We surfaced gasping. I smashed her head against the trough's edge. Once. Twice. Bone met iron. "Where's the fire, Jules?" She giggled, blood streaming down her chin. "Scared you'll like it?" I reached for the razor. She kneed my ribs, scrambled up the ladder. "Catch." Ty's body fell on me. The farmhouse burned at midnight. I limped from the flames, Raven's laughter echoing in the trees. She'd vanished, as always, leaving another mask in the ashes. Mine. Half finished, one eye socket stitched shut with Zara's hair. Her note. Almost perfect. I collapsed at the tree line, watching the fire eat her past. The masks were right. We're the same. Just waiting to see which skin fits best. In the truck's rearview, my reflection wore Raven's smile. I let it stay. Chapter 6, The Last Mask. The city's skyline was a graveyard of shadows, the neon glow of billboards bleeding into the Hudson as I drove toward the docks. Raven's final gift, a text with coordinates and a photo of her wearing my half-finished face, burned in my pocket. The mask's empty eye socket stared back, stitched shut with Zara's hair. "Come finish us," the note read. I parked behind a shipping container, the air thick with salt and diesel. My reflection in the rearview was a stranger, matted hair, a gash across my cheek from the farmhouse fight, eyes hollow as the masks we'd sold. I loaded the Sig Sauer Ty had hidden, her ghost whispering in my ear, "Make it hurt." The warehouse loomed ahead, its corrugated walls vibrating with bass from a stolen sound system. Raven's anthem, "Paint It Black," thrummed through the cracks. Inside, she'd built a cathedral of suffering. Masks hung from the rafters like butchered angels, their leather faces twisted into screams. Some were ours, Marco, Frankie, Halstead, but most were new. Girls from alleys we'd sworn to avenge. Girls with their lips sewn into smiles. At the center, a throne of fused bone and barbed wire, draped in Lena's flayed skin. Raven sat cross-legged atop it, her own face peeled back to fuse with mine, the sutures oozing pus and pride. She sipped champagne from Esme's skull, her free hand stroking Myra's stuffed rabbit, its fur now black with rot. "You kept me waiting," she said, Ty's voice slipping from her throat. A parlor trick, vocal cords ripped and stitched. "I aimed the Sig, take that off." She stood, the mask sagging eye socket peeling away from her real one. "Why? It's us jewels. The best parts. There are no best parts. Liar." She gestured to the throne. "You've wanted this since the beginning. To be seen. To be feared." The gun trembled. "I wanted to live. This is living." She spread her arms, the walls shuddering as projectors flickered to life. Security footage played on loop. Marco's flaying, Frankie's death rattle, Ty's crucifixion. "We're immortal now. They'll tell stories about us. Mothers will scare their kids with our names." I stepped closer, the Sig's laser dot dancing over her heart. "You're just a scared girl playing dress up." Her smile faltered. "And you're a corpse too stubborn to rot." She lunged. We crashed into the masks, their leather tongues lashing our faces as we rolled. Raven clawed at my eyes, her nails sharpened into talons. I headbutt her, felt the mask stitches pop. She laughed, spitting blood, and sank her teeth into my wrist. The Sig skittered away. "Still fighting fair?" she hissed, pinning me with a knee to the chest. "Where's the fire, Jules?" I grabbed a shard of bone from the throne, jammed it into her thigh. She screamed, recoiling. "Fuck!" I scrambled for the gun. Raven tackled me, her weight crushing. We slid into a pallet of formaldehyde jars, liquid sloshing over us, burning our wounds. "You owe me," she roared, hands around my throat. "I made you a queen." I gagged, clawing at her wrists. "You made me nothing." Her grip tightened. "Then die nothing." The rabbit watched from the throne, Myra's voice echoing. "Brave, Jules. Be brave." I hooked my boot around the Sig. Fired blind. The bullet tore through Raven's side. She collapsed, blood pooling on the concrete. "Cheater," she coughed, dragging herself toward the masks. I stood swaying, the gun aimed at her skull. "It's over." She laughed, wet and broken. "You think killing me ends this? I'm in you. In every cut. Every scream. Maybe." I cocked the hammer. "But I'll bury you first." Her hand shot out, flinging a scalpel. It grazed my temple, clattering behind me. "Join me," she begged, her real face emerging from the mask's ruin. "We'll remake the world. Skin by skin." For a heartbeat, I wanted to. To let the hunger win. To carve my name into the earth with blood and bone. Then I saw them. Lena's scarf tucked in Raven's belt, Esme's glasses cracked on the throne, Ty's dog tags around her neck. "This isn't a world," I said. "It's a grave." I pulled the trigger. The shot echoed. Raven's body jerked, her remaining eye widening. "Jules, wait." Blood bloomed across her chest. She slumped, fingers twitching toward the rabbit. "Em. Mira." I knelt, pressing the Sig to her temple. "She's not here." The last bullet erased her smile. Dawn found me on the docks, Raven's body weighted with chains and dumped into the Hudson. The masks burned behind me, their leather curling into ash, the smoke spelling names only I knew. The Sig sank with her. Ty's letters lingered in my pocket, their edges charred. I'd memorized every word. "Tell my sister I tried," she'd written. I lit a match. "You did," I whispered, watching the flames eat her ghosts. The safe house was a tomb. I packed what remained. Lena's med kit, Esme's encrypted drive, Myra's ashes in a Ziploc bag. The mask's buyers had wired one final offer. $10 million for Raven's last piece. I sent them her coordinates. "Collect it yourself." The highway stretched endless, the pickups radio humming static. Somewhere north, shelters hid girls with eyes like ours. Girls who still had skin to lose. Lena's voice surfaced, soft as a suture. "You're not a savior." "No," I said to the wind. "But I'm not a ghost anymore." At the border, a motel sign flickered. vacancy. The clerk eyed my scars but took cash. In the shower, I scrubbed until the water ran cold. My reflection still wore Raven's smirk. Let it, I decided. Under the bed's hollow frame, I taped Esme's drive and Lena's last dose of fentanyl. For the next girl. The next sister. Sleep came without dreams. They found me in Wyoming, digging graves for a storm-killed herd. The rancher's wife brought lemonade, her daughter hiding behind her skirts. You're good with a knife, the woman said, eyeing the carcasses. Practice, I replied. The girl stepped forward, her wrist bruised in the shape of a handprint. Can you teach me? I looked at her mother. At the horizon. At the ghosts nodding in the heat haze. Yeah, I said, handing her the blade. But first, we talk. Justice isn't pretty. But we wear it well.